Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Two questions come up all the time in the spiritual life, in the Christian life. One has to do with God, and one has to do with us. And the questions basically are, what is God doing, and what am I supposed to do? Now, there are different forms of these questions. When it comes to God, people ask, well, what does God want of us? Why does he do things like that? Why does he allow things like that? Who is God anyway? All the questions about God and who he is and what he does. And then about us, what must I do? What am I supposed to do? What can I do? What should I not do? What are we supposed to do together? How can we get to heaven? Questions like that. In any case, my point is, there are these two aspects of the situation that we're in, if we're people of faith anyway, and people without faith don't think like this, but people of faith, they want to know what's God's part and what's our part. Well, Jesus helps us understand both sides of this coin when, in this morning's gospel, he compares the kingdom of God to the experience of a farmer or a gardener. I love this little passage. It's only found in Mark's gospel. And this is what he says, Jesus. This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all, the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Sounds simple enough, right? I mean, this is how it works with seeds, with the planting of seeds. We do the planting and we do whatever we can to provide the right environment for the seeds. Any gardener knows this. It's a lot of work. But we can't make the seeds grow. Some of it is just out of our hands. They kind of grow by themselves, in fact. There's this hidden power within the seed itself. And we don't really know what's going on a lot of the time, especially in the early stages. We can't even see it. And we don't have to know exactly how it works. We can trust that, well, that's how seeds grow. A lot of life is spent waiting for seeds to grow. It's part of life, waiting for things to happen that are beyond our control, waiting for God to act, waiting for his plan to unfold in his own time. And we go to sleep and we rise night and day, as he says here, and through it all, seeds sprout and grow. We know not how. Hindi natin alam. Just like the farm. But what does it have to do with the kingdom of God? Well, it's exactly like this. It's exactly like this. Some things are up to us. We have our responsibilities. And some things are not up to us. They're in the hands of God. And if we're wise, we accept that this is the way it is. Many people don't accept it, and that's why they're so troubled. But if we're wise, we accept this is the way it is. This is the way it is with the kingdom of God. This reminds me of that simple prayer, which I often recommend to people, the Serenity Prayer. I'm sure you've probably heard of the Serenity Prayer, or you've seen it. The short version of the Serenity Prayer goes like this. It's addressed to God. It's a request of God. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Why is this a wise prayer? Because it respects both aspects of growth. God's part and our part. If we try to control the part that belongs to God, if we force things to happen or we try to force people to do what we want, it always ends in a disaster because we're not accepting the things we cannot change. We're not accepting that we have limitations. On the other hand, if we fail to do our part, if out of fear or out of laziness or out of selfishness, if we neglect our responsibilities, if we expect things to work out just because they should, well, that's a disaster too, because it means we lack the courage to change the things we can. And if we're wise, we know the difference between these two. What belongs to God, and we have to accept. What belongs to us, and we have to have the courage to do. And striking that balance is really a challenge, isn't it? Now, Jesus, he teaches us much more than the serenity prayer, even though serenity prayer is a good start. But here in this gospel, Jesus also gives us insight into how things work by using the image of the mustard seed. Now, this is found in the other gospels as well, so we're familiar with it. The mustard seed is very small, but it produces a very large plant. And Jesus uses this to teach us to accept that things usually start very small. Even if they're important, even if they're key to life itself or key to happiness, they usually start very small, sometimes unseen, seemingly insignificant. And Jesus, by his words and especially by his example, teaches us about the painful process involved in the growth of seeds or in the growth of the human person. We need serenity, yes. We need courage, yes. We need wisdom, yes. But in the face of the cross, in the face of the sufferings in our life and the lives of our loved ones, we need faith, we need hope, we need love, the great virtues. Now, in light of this, I want to make a little reflection on Father's Day, since it is Father's Day today, and we do honor fathers, as we should. We recognize what a great gift a good father is, and what a great responsibility fathers have in their families and in the society. Yes. But we also recognize that fathers are not in control of everything. They can't do everything. If they try to control everything, there's trouble. And if they go to the other extreme and neglect their role, there's trouble. See, these two aspects are at work. Some fathers, they become brutal tyrants. They become demanding dictators, as if they're in charge and as if their authority is everything. No respect for what belongs to God. On the other extreme, some fathers just seem to disappear from family life as if they have no responsibility at all. There's even a term for it in the culture, no absentee fathers. Both of those are wrong, and we know those dads aren't doing it right. They're not doing it right. Good fathers are strong so that we can be strong. If they're overpowering, well, then that leaves us weak. And if they're weak, that leaves us weak. So the good fathers strike this balance between doing what they're supposed to do and then not doing what they're not supposed to do. Good fathers are like good farmers. Good farmers, respecting the laws of growth and cooperating with hard work, with selfless service, with love. And respecting that there are some things that are just out of their control. And that's part of life. And they teach their children. That's part of life. One thing that causes grief for fathers, or for mothers too, for all parents, is that some children just don't seem to learn. Some children, for whatever reason, because they're foolish or because they're rebellious, they just don't do the right thing. And that's not always the fault of the parents. We know, all parents know this. It's certainly possible for a good father to have a bad child, or at least a child who gets into serious trouble for his own fault. And the best example of this is God himself. It's always good on Father's Day to remember that God is a father, God the Father, and God created perfect children for himself, our first parents, Adam and Eve, and he provided a perfect home for them in the Garden of Eden. He gave them clear instructions about the best way to live, as a good father does, and they still didn't turn out perfect. They misused their freedom, the original sin. They misused their freedom. And that was not God's fault. It was their own fault. So I just say this because fathers often put a very heavy burden on themselves, especially when things go wrong in the family. Well, mothers do this too. Parents, they because they love their families and they want things to work out, when they don't work out, they often blame themselves. Well, sometimes it's not your fault. Just like it's not God's fault that things didn't work out. Sometimes people misuse their freedom, and sometimes children simply don't cooperate. And that's the way it is. We can accept that. We can accept it. Accept the things you cannot change. Have the courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, let me take one last thought here. It's related to this. It comes from today's second reading. St. Paul speaks to the Corinthians, and he says this: "We are always courageous, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." That little expression, I think, it has profound wisdom for us. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's how a farmer walks. By faith, not by sight. That's how a good father walks. By faith, not by sight. It's a good description of the Christian life. We don't expect to walk by sight because we can't see everything. We don't know everything, and we don't have to know. We're not God. We don't live in anxiety about what we don't know, or we don't have to live in anxiety about what we don't know, because we put our trust in God. We walk by faith, not by sight. So we can, fathers can, mothers can, all of us can, believers can, with peace of heart, with trust in God, even though there are problems in our families and there are problems in the world, we can go to bed and get up day after day knowing that God will bring about the growth of His kingdom. And that's wisdom.